access number 30640, Mr. Len, how about Reel 4? Now, we're talking about your time with the Queen's Regiment, doing your basic training at Guildford Barracks from January to roughly February 52. You mentioned a couple of things. What about this polishing coal? Is that part of kit inspections, you know, or
yes.
Room inspection?
Oh, no, room inspection.
Now, tell me, how far did they go there? Because that's...
They went to the extreme. They did go to the extreme. Now, every scratch I told you at the beginning that we put on the floor, we had to take out, or they put on the floor, we had to take out. And every bed had to be, well, it just had to be dust free. There wasn't allowed to have a bit of dust anywhere, top, bottom, or back, or anywhere. Even the bottom, you wasn't allowed to have anything, no dust at all. And with the polishing, now, when we was in there, we used to have a white line going all the way around the right around the bottom, and that had to be done every day because it's just a bullshit. The coal scuttle, that had to be polished, and each bit of coal was put in gently, so that nothing would come off of it. In other words, you put in, and that coal you couldn't use at all. That was the coal that was there, and the coal used to give out to anybody that's finished, and they would come and pick it up, and they'd start polishing the coal. Exactly the same as you done your boot, you do the coal.
You really did that?
Yeah, really did. And that was, to me, was discipline, because if you could have turned around, if I was in the attitude I was at some of these now, I'd turn around and say, well, I'm not doing that. But it's something you never said, I'm not doing that in the army. I don't know if you ever remember, or if you was, you wasn't in the army, huh? But
yeah. And what was the actual inspection like? You know, when they came round, you know, you'd been working all the time. What was it like?
Oh, that was terrible. Because he would not think nothing of coming along, and one thing would be out of place, and that would be it. Everything would be out of place, and he'd not make sure it was out of place. If your bed, if he was to look at your bed, and you didn't have your, say, your 2 inches and your inch and a half,
you'd laid it out,
laid it out, and put your helmet where it's supposed to be. All your kit would be down the side, and if it wasn't properly done, and it wasn't only just that, you had to have your blankets wasn't allowed to have a crease in them. You know, if it wasn't folded properly, that at the end, that would be in trouble. Now, if that were to happen, your bed would just be turned up, so that everything on your bed would fall together, and if they broke a cup, you'd have to pay for it. And mainly, many times they did break a cup. But again, we was one of them that had to go along and pay for it. And we just, that's what I'm saying. The discipline that was in the army was really good, because they never, I can't remember anybody that's revolted against saying, well, I'm not doing that, because you're the silly bugger that's done it. I mean, if they broke a cup, then they'd replace it. If you broke a window, the back room would pay for the window. There was none of this argument, well, you did it or I did it, because don't forget, we had 32 blokes in the room itself. I mean, it's a lot of blokes. I mean, it was a lot to share that shared with you, but the point was, if you broke a cup or you broke a window or something like that, you'd never argue against. You just it was there, and you had to pay for it.
Now, what about, you mentioned jankers? What was jankers? That is normally fatigue, but what was jankers?
Jankers was when you went on. You'd have to be there at 6 o'clock, just after tea. Whatever tea, what time tea was, if I remember rightly, it was 4:30. So about 5 o'clock, 5:30, you'd have to be there, and you'd have to have, you'd stand up with all your BD on, your proper belts and your all your sacks, everything, and they would go around and they would see whether your boots are clean, or this is clean, or that's clean. And if it was dirty, you'd be put on the charge again.
And was this called being confined to barracks, or what was it called?
Yes, you were confined to barracks.
Jenkins is confined to barracks.
Yes, well, because you see, you don't only just go there overnight, once overnight, you go there at the lights out. So you've got to be there roughly, I would say, 10:45. You'd have to be there, and you'd be there, and it would take up the amount of time that it would take. So by the time you got back, you didn't want to get, because you'd have to be up early in the morning to be out on Jenkins again, see?
Now, any other punishments? What was that the main? What about kitchen fatigue or something?
Oh, yeah, you just have to do that. That would be, if they wanted somebody, I mean, that's the only way you can put it. If they wanted somebody that would that needed to do, they needed somebody in the cookhouse, well, what they would do, they would let the NCOs know, and they would put them on, you'd go there, and what they would have to do, if they wanted washing up done, you'd wash up. If they wanted the tables cleaned, you'd have to clean the tables. Or if you wanted the room swept up, you'd have to sweep the room up, or anything like that at all. So, within reason, it wasn't.
Now, how did you get on with the other lads, the other recruits? Were they from the same sort of background as yourself? What do you think of them? How did you get on with them?
You had your disagreements, but within, overall, I got on very well with them. I mean, there wasn't many that I could say fell out with anybody.
Were they from the same sort of background as you were?
Yes, more or less all the same background, yeah.
What
yeah.
would you fall out about, if you did?
Not waiting for somebody to finish. Like, you'd be cleaning your boots, and somebody would say, right, I'll meet you over. Well, hang on a minute, I'll only be a couple of minutes. And they'd say, no, that's all right, I'm going there now. And you'd fall out over that. Believe it or not, it was silly. The silliest things are going.
Did we help each other?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, yeah. If you've got a couple of blokes that were in dire trouble, as far as cleaning their kit's concerned and all that, you would actually put yourselves aside and say, right, what we intend to do is we're going to make sure that we help them in, like, if I could do my boots better than you could, I would do the boots while you would sweep up, if you like, or something like that. Anything you couldn't do, and that's how we used to help, especially in the first 6 weeks we did, anyway.
What about the NCOs, the instructors? How did you get on with them? What were they like to you?
They were standoffish, because that's the way they had to be. That's my opinion. They were standoffish. That's the way they had to be. Because, let's be fair, you can't ask for discipline if you're going to be your best mates. So to be your best mates, he had to come up and say to you sometimes, you're on guard tonight. And you'd look at him and say, no, not tonight. He'd say, you're on guard tonight, and that would be it. And you'd be on guard. Because in the army, you didn't only do guard duty, you'd done fire picket
duty. I'll come to that. How did they treat you? I mean, was there a lot of shouting and swearing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you got a lot of that. Yeah, you got, well, I got a lot of it anyway. Whether I was the bagger or two, I don't know, but I always got shouted at and sweared at. But I didn't swear back to them, believe it or not.
And did you think they were fair in the way they treated you, or would they pick on people?
If they found somebody, now this is a funny way of looking at it, but if they, like, they used to pick on me because I could take it. And I would, I would give back more or less what I would be given, but I would know how far to go. It was one of them love-hate relationships. They would have a go at me, and I would have a go at them, but I would know how far to go, and that would be it, sort of thing, you know.
Do you think they knew the stuff? That, you know, I mean, you know, the weapons instructors of Peter, were they good at their jobs? Did they
know their jobs? They were very good at their jobs, yeah. I mean, how long they'd been in the army, I don't know, but they were good at their jobs.
Did you see much of your officers at Guildford?
No, the only time you see the officers in the morning was first thing in the morning, and, well, it's only that would be it. First thing in the morning.
What was that, on the parade?
On the parade ground, yeah, when you had to go on parade. And that would be approximately 11 o'clock. Approximately 11. You'd go on parade at 11, and then everything used to shoot off from there. You know, you'd have to run back and get in PD kit and all that old palaver.
Now, and what about in the evening? I mean, did you have a canteen or anything? Or were you
like, yes.
What was the canteen?
Naffy. Yeah, the naffy.
And what did that offer you? You know what you mean? What was in there?
Used to be tables and chairs and a sort of a, where you could go, when you could afford it, you'd go up and you'd have cups of tea or anything like that. Or what we were lucky enough, because we had a gentleman that could play a piano, and he used to play by ear, and he was so good. If you knew a tune and you said whistle, he'd say whistle the tune, and no sooner you started whistling, he'd pick it up straight away. So within reason, we had a bit of cabaret as well. That used to last till about 10:30.
Would you sing along? You know,
sing along. Oh yeah, yeah.
Could you drink in the canteen? Beer, I mean.
Yes, they could drink. Yeah, but who had money in the army?
What about pay? And what do you remember what your pay was? Because you'd been by then an upholsterer for a bit. You know.
When I went in the army, I'm sure my pay in the army was somewhere in the region about 10 and something. 10 bob or something like that.
And how did that compare with what you'd been getting as an apprentice?
Well, it didn't. Well, you know, as an apprentice outside, I only used to get £2 a week then. So, oh, really, as an apprentice, I was just as well off.
Now, what about, would you go out into Guildford, or were you allowed into Guildford?
Oh, you was allowed into Guildford.
What would you do there?
Drink in pubs. They would, anyway.
Would you?
No, I didn't drink.
You didn't drink at all?
No, the only time I got drunk was one time.
Not then. Were you a teetotaler then, or just didn't drink?
I am a teetotaler, really, because I don't drink. And that's why, you understand why, when I do drink, I go berserk, sort of thing.
So what happened? What would you do when you went to Guildford? Just go to the pictures, or what?
Mainly, you go to the pictures, or you go and sit in a pub with all the lads. You were with a load of lads, so it didn't make a lot of difference.
Yeah. So, anything else? A guard duty and picket duty, tell me about them.
Well, the guard duty, you go 3 hours on, 3 hours off, 3 hours on, 3 hours off.
Did you have a stick, man?
Yes. That's the bloke who walked down and turned the page.
It's different things in different units. The smartest man on the parade.
Well, we did have what we had was a man called a stick man, and he used to go from the buff garret. I'm going on a bit now though, because I'm going on to
is that later. Okay.
Yeah, that's later.
Is it the picket duty you remember best?
Yes,
the picket. Well, tell me about the picket duty.
Picket duty and guard duty is exactly the same. You go to a post, and you'd stand there. If you was on fire duty, you'd walk around to make sure there was no fires in the lorries or in the. In fact, you walk around everywhere where there was buildings or anything that wasn't being used. So that if there was any smoke or any fire come out at all, You'd have your certain amount of walk around, if you know what I mean. You'd walk around and you'd know exactly where you was.
So now, the 6 weeks, and then you have the passing out prayer. Now, it's the passing out prayer. That's the one where your boots fell apart, isn't it?
That's right.
Do you remember anything else about the passing out parade, or was that it?
No, it was a very nice. It was a good passing out parade. Unfortunately, I never had nobody come down for my passing out parade. I didn't have no parents. A lot of the fellas did have parents come down, and they did take the passing out, but I didn't really. And then the next day, we was all around about 1 o'clock time. We was all given passes to go home, and we were told where we got to go.
Now, where did you have to go?
Canterbury.
Now, who were you joining there?
I was joining the Royal Fusiliers.
Which battalion?
Well, the 1st Battalion.
That's the only one.
Well, that's the only one that they put me down to at the moment.
Now, they were at where? Canterbury?
No, they wouldn't. They were out in... they were out somewhere. No, when you come out of the training, because you go into the Royal Fusiliers, it was sort of a how can I explain it to you? It was
the depot.
No, it wasn't, because the Tower of London's a depot, isn't it?
Of course it is. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah. See, the Tower of London's a depot. No, when I went to the most probably what it was is because I went to the few Fusiliers in Canterbury, I just had to do me 10 weeks basic training there. And that's what I did do. I'd done me 10 weeks basic training.
But I thought you'd just done your basic training.
No, the basic training was 6 weeks. That's your basic training.
And you then mean continuation training?
Continuation.
Basic, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, yes. I see your point. No, I went to...
And was the battalion weren't there then?
No, the battalion were out somewhere. I've got an idea. I can't say where they were.
But you were just... it was a Royal Fusiliers camp then?
Yes. Well, no, it was a Buffs camp.
Canterbury was?
Yeah, Buffs camp.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought you said you went in the Royal Fusiliers.
I did. I know. It's horrible to try and explain to you, but you see, you went there for your 10 weeks training.
Right.
And it doesn't matter whether it was called Royal Fusiliers or Buffs camp, but the Buffs, that's where the Buffs come from. The camp, that's the camp.
That's their depot.
Yes, their depot, yeah.
The Buffs, is that the East Kent? I always get mixed up.
I don't know. I'll
look it up. I can never remember. So they were at Canterbury. And was this Canterbury, was it a barracks or a depot?
No, definitely a barracks.
You don't know its name, just Canterbury.
No, as I know, it's Canterbury.
And this would be what, February?
Yes, roughly a February, yeah.
And you were there for 10 weeks?
That's it.
So that's probably to May.
Yeah.
Now, what was your reception? Did you know you were going to be a Royal Fusilier at this time?
Yes, I did. Because they told us that now you belong to the Royal Fusiliers and not to the... they threatened us, really, if you like. We could either join the Queen's Regiment and go to... I've got an idea it's Malaya or somewhere like that. Or... you can go to the Royal Fusiliers, which you will become, and you might land up in Korea. So we all voiced out of the Queen's Regiment, and we all went to the Royal Fusiliers.
And you were doing the training with the Buffs at Canterbury. So that's all. Now, what happened when you got to Canterbury then? What was it like there? What were the barracks like?
Very good, very good.
In what way? Can you describe?
Yeah, there was up and down. There was about six houses, like up and down. So there's 12 units there, and I would say, on an average, there was, on parade we would have over 100 blokes. On parade. So.
Now, so what was the training like? This is continuation training. So
yes.
It might not have been that different, but I mean, what do you remember of it?
Well, you'd done more PT than you did sort of anything else. And you've done a lot of, I'll tell you what they did at the ending of it. They did at the ending more of going out and laying in the fields of a night. You know what I mean? And doing things like that.
Night exercises.
Yes, night exercises.
What were these night exercises like? Were they any different from the other ones, or just the same?
No, these were more realistic.
Tell us about them then.
Well, number one, you'd instead of firing nothing, you'd fire blanks. Instead of having just things blow up outside of you, they used to have these automatic shells going off, things like that. And when they you got your results the next morning in respect of whether you went to bed or not, but they would have you in a room and they'd tell you how good you done, whether you was overrun or not, and things like that. So within reason, it was more of a stronger place.
Anything else new? I mean, we talked a lot about training, but you know, anything new?
Well, we went to Hive Ranges from Canterbury. We went to Hive Ranges, and we used to go there at the ending. I would say the last 4 or 5 weeks, we did go there a lot, and we used to have to do, because you know, in the Hive Ranges, there's no sand; it's all pebbles.
Hive
Ranges. And when you go out there, it's all pebbles. And you run along, and you, of course, you're not just running along. You've got the stones moving out the way as well. So it was making it very, very hard for you.
Anything else new? Any new weapons? Or?
No, funny enough, there wasn't any new weapon. You went through the old weapons that you had.
Now you mentioned you got into trouble at Canterbury. What was that about?
Well, what happened was, we went to Canterbury, we went down to the pubs, passing out parade it was.
Right, it was right at the end.
Yeah, right at the very end.
Oh, anything else before that then that you remember, or is it, because you don't seem to remember Canterbury as well as?
Well, no, not really, because really what you did in Canterbury, you more or less done in. I mean, don't forget, we used to fight because we used to not like the longer pass, because we used to leave there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Friday afternoon. And not have to be back till Monday morning. Well, that was a fair old pass, so you used to try and get away as quick as you can to get home, and you would only be here, 24 hours, top whack. And then you'd burn your way back again. So you can imagine it's... And if you was on guard duty or something like that, you used to put you well behind so that you'd stay there and... You wouldn't even bother to go out at all.
Now, so anything else about Canterbury before we come to when you got into trouble?
We had a bloke called Ronnie Diamond. He was a hard nut.
In what way? Tell us about him.
He was hard. You could bash his head against that brick wall and he'd still stand up there and laugh at you. I mean, he was hard. And we was on parade, and this officer come up, and he was a silly bugger, really, because he should never have done what he done. He tried to look down at him. And he just turned around and he said to him, just out of the blue. And we was all standing there, all stood up, now on parade, and he just turned around and he said to him, "Don't talk to me like that," he said. "And what were you entitled to do? What will you do if I don't?" Well, he didn't say don't. He was on the floor. He whacked him so hard. It was unbelievable. And he just said, "Right, I'm off to the guard room now." And he just walked off to the guard room. Nobody took him. He just walked. He was such a nice fella, honestly. He was such a nice fella until you got on the wrong side of him. But he came from the angel, isn't it? And he was such a nice fella, really. But this officer, he didn't know what hit him. And I doubt if he ever done it again, to be honest with you.
Anything else? Any other story? Or any other characters? Because that was...
Well, the only one I can think of is when I was down at Canterbury, we went on the Passing Out Parade.
Tell us about that.
And we finished it, and we had to go, we was already to be told where to go, where we was going to land up, and what we was going to do, and everything. And the next thing we know, we're all out. I got drunk. Don't ask me why, but I got drunk. And somebody said something about my girlfriend. And unfortunately, in the army, you don't talk about girlfriends in any respect at all. And of course, I flattened the pub. And the next thing I know, the MPs have come down to sort me out. Instead of that, I sorted them out. So I flattened them all. And they had done this pub up terrible, I had.
I'd
smashed all the glasses at the back. I'd done all the tables in. I'd put two MPs in hospital. Things like that, you know, it's just natural things that you do when you lose your temper. And
you were drunk and you weren't used to it.
No, definitely. I can't drink at all. So they take me back and put me in the guard room. And when I'm there, they're telling me what I'm going to get, what I'm not going to do, what am I going to... And I went in front of the old man. Oh, we called in the old man, you know that, don't you?
Yeah.
Duke. Went in front of him and he turned around and he said, "Abbott, you're a disgrace to my regiment." And all I could say, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to give you a 36-hour pass." He said, "You're going to go home." He said, "You're going to get throw all this behind you. Nobody's going to know nothing." And of course, I went home and everything was all right until I got... until I went back, and then when I went back, I had to go in front of him again. He says, "Well, I'm sorry, but we've got to get rid of you." And I said, "Well, why is that?" He said, "Well, the pub owner wants to know who you are." Because he was thinking of, so he said, "What we're going to do, we're going to put you on the transfer list straight away." So, of course, he put me on the transfer list that put me off to Korea, on the way to Hong Kong.
And so that's when you joined the Royal Fusiliers.
No, I was already with the Fusiliers.
But not with the battalion.
Oh no, but even when I went to Hong Kong, I didn't join it.
I'm
still not with the Fusiliers yet.
So that's when you posted to Hong Kong.
That's right. I was all to Hong Kong.